This time in the Planet Earth podcast, the effects of climate change in the Antarctic, what that means to all of us. I'm Richard Hollingham, and you join me at the British Antarctic Survey in Cambridge, where scientists have recently published research into ice melting in the Antarctic Peninsula. This has increased tenfold in summer over the past 600 years, but most of this extra melting has been in the past 50 years. So what are the implications for rises in global sea levels? Well, I'm going to head into the cold laboratory. I've been issued with a hat, gloves and a thick coat. And through the heavy door, we're going to meet Robert Mulvaney and Emily Capron, who are involved in research analysing ice cores. How cold is it in here, Robert?
It's about minus 25 in here.
Now, above my head, there are great icicles hanging from the ceiling. And then racks of what look like rolls of maps, but these are actually cores of ice from Antarctica.
Yeah, these are cores of ice. They're about 10 centimetres in diameter, about a metre long. The way we drill our cores, we have what we call an electromechanical drill. We position that at the surface, and then a team of us, probably working 24 hours a day in the field, will drill from the surface all the way down through the ice sheet till we reach the bed, preferably, and that will give us a climate record going back many tens of thousands of years.
Can we have a quick look at one of them here?
Yeah, let's pull one out and have a look at it.
So there we go, a tube of ice on the table. This is what, just over a metre long or so, but this is only a fraction of what you drill.
Yeah, this is just 1 metre. This one came from a place called the Dyer Plateau. According to the code on it, it was drilled in 1990 and it came from 48 metres down in the ice sheet.
So, Emily, what can you tell from this?
You can tell many information, actually, about how the climate and the environment has evolved in the past.
So is this from chemicals or gases trapped in the ice?
So for the environmental information, we do measure the chemical components, such as the sulfate content or the nitrates. And then we have also one very important information that we can get only from ice cores, actually, to reconstruct past environments, is that in the ice we have air bubble that are trapped in it, and they represent like little time capsule that give us information on the composition of the atmosphere over the past, such as we have information on the concentration of greenhouse gases, such as carbon dioxide.
Now, Robert, we've very helpfully, on the wall of this cold laboratory, got a map of Antarctica, because you were particularly interested in the Antarctic Peninsula, which is the bit, the finger, really, sticking out from the Antarctic continent.
Yeah, so you've got the main Antarctic continent, and then you've got this peninsula of land. It's quite a narrow, mountainous peninsula, about 1,000 kilometres long, sticks out from the main Antarctic continent towards South America, and reaches an elevation of about 2,000, a little over 2,000 metres. And it's a barrier between for the circulation of air and water around Antarctica. So it sits like a barrier. And because of that barrier, it has a climate that's quite different to the rest of Antarctica. So while the rest of Antarctica is uniformly cold, apart from maybe at the coastal edges, the peninsula can get quite warm during the summer.
So why is it important to study warming there, or the changes in ice in the peninsula?
Well, because of its particular meteorology, which is related to its geographical position, it turns out to be one of the fastest warming areas on Earth. So in the last 50 years, meteorologists working at the coastal stations have observed the temperature rising by about 3 degrees Celsius in the last 50 or 60 years. That makes it one of the fastest warming areas on Earth.
So that's the weather, if you like, over the past 50 years or so. But what about this climate record? That's from the ice cores.
Yeah, we need to set this last 50 years in the context of the much longer period. And the value of the ice cores is we can go back thousands of years. We can get either the atmosphere or the climate going back thousands of years, maybe tens of thousands of years. And in the deepest ice cores in central Antarctica, going back hundreds of thousands of years.
Now, you're one of the authors on this paper, and you found this trend of warming over past 600 years. That's a sort of long-term trend, if you like. But then superimposed over this, a short-term trend in the past 50 years, which was far more extreme.
Yeah, that's right. So we collected a core from the Antarctic Peninsula. It's in a region where some of the ice shelves surrounding the peninsula in the last few decades have been melting, breaking up, disintegrating. In a matter of weeks, areas of thousands of square kilometres of ice, hundreds of metres thick, disintegrate and float off out to sea. So we wanted to try and understand how the longer term context of the climate in this region, when we know that it's been warming very rapidly for 60 years or so, but what does it look like over the much longer period?
So you found this increase in warming. What does that mean? What are the implications of that?
So when we look back over the last 1,000 years, we could see that the last 50 years have been warming remarkably fast compared to the longer term record. But actually what we saw is that the warming began very slowly about 600 years ago. So in the last 1,000 years, 600 years ago was about the coldest. Since then, climate has warmed slowly and then much more rapidly in the last few decades. But we also looked at the levels of melting that we see in the summer in this ice core. And again, we saw over the last 1,000 years, very little summer melting for most of it until you get into the last 50 years or so. And then suddenly you get an increase of about 10 times the level of summer melting that we would have seen in the coldest part of the record.
So what are the implications of this increased summer melting for sea levels?
Well, it's quite important because the mechanism that we think that the ice shelves surrounding the Antarctic Peninsula break up is due to increased summer melting. The melting on the surface tends to percolate through cracks and weakens the ice shelves. And it's this that we think causes the catastrophic breakup of ice shelves that happens over a matter of weeks.
And so that means that a large amount of ice would end up in the sea, raising sea levels potentially.
Well, not necessarily. The ice shelves themselves are already floating, so they're already part of sea level. But once they've disintegrated and moved away from the continent, what tends to happen then is the ice tends to flow more rapidly off the continent because the buttressing effect of the ice shelves has been removed. So suddenly you get glaciers starting to flow more rapidly, and that brings then the continental, the land-based ice, down to the sea where it melts as icebergs, and then that really does add to sea level. So it's the melting at the surface tends to weaken the ice shelves are then lost, which then causes the glaciers behind them to flow more rapidly, and it's that starts to add to sea level.
And can this be attributed to climate change? It looks fairly obvious that it is, but not necessarily?
I think it's always difficult to look at a piece of work like this and say this is human-induced climate change. However, what we can say is when we look at the climate models, the way that we think the Earth will react to the changes in greenhouse gases, what we see is entirely consistent with the predictions of climate change. So it doesn't prove climate change, but it's entirely consistent with it.
And the trend is for this to continue?
I think the trend is continuing. We see more and more melting as we see the peninsula warming. I think this trend will continue over the next few decades. And we may well see the loss of more ice shelves in the peninsula.
Robert Mulvaney and Emily Capron here in the Cold Laboratory at the British Antarctic Survey. Thank you very much. You can read more about the research at Planet Earth Online, and we'll put some pictures of the recording today on our Facebook page. You can also find us on Twitter, all available by searching for Planet Earth Online. I'm Richard Hollingham, and that's the Planet Earth podcast from the Natural Environment Research Council.